Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. It's another week of American Tennis. And folks, before I do anything else, I want to thank Dr. Jim Poole for his fantastic program. Last week I've gotten some emails and I've gotten just a lot of great feedback on his groundbreaking and just a new way of thinking about ADHD and ADD stuff that we all have and have to deal with our youngsters these days. And wow, we all agree there's too much diagnosis of that stuff, but Dr. Jim Poole, look up his fastbrain.com, fastbrain.com, BRAIIN.com. So thanks, Dr. Jim. That was a great program last week on American Tennis. I'm Chuck Creasy. This is American Tennis. Chuck Creasy's American Tennis. And folks, we always say that the mission is for you to stand up, speak out, you know, and I'm going to quote Dr. Ben Carson last night. He says the PC police tell you to sit down and shut up. He says it's time to stand up and shout out. Shout out what the heck needs to be said. And I think you know me by now, and I'm going to try to say what needs to be said. We try to address issues, not people. I mean, we've got great people in these organizations, but my golly, is the USTA out of touch or what? Is the ITA out of touch or what? It's just awful what they are trying to do and jam through here. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. I want to approach from the standpoint of our kids and what's going on here, you know, about the dumb down. And you know, so stand up, speak out. How about this? Stand up, shout out. Stand up and shout out. Don't sit down and shut up. And we really do need you to do that. All that it takes for evil to prosper is for good people, good men to do nothing. You know, and that's one of my favorite quotes from Edmund Burke. And we have to battle this stuff. We have to fight against tennis tyranny. And I don't think it's all tyranny. I don't think we have so many people that just mean to do bad. but they know not what they do. It's that simple. Tennis is just one of those strange sports where everybody sort of feels that they're an expert at it, and I don't care whether it's a 2.5 player or a 3.5 doubles team or the weekend warrior who's 70 years old and maybe just getting into tennis. Everybody in tennis for some reason thinks that they are on the cutting edge of what it takes to be excellent, and it is a tough one. But American Tennis each week at noon on the UR Tennis Network. Thanks, Yellow Ball Network, for picking up Coach J.P. Weber. Listen to his We Coach Tennis programs every Wednesday. Let's see. When is J.P. is on? Every Tuesday, I believe. Lisa Stone, also Parenting Aces, her hit programs every Tuesday at noon. Coach John Denise, thank you for the work you do with all of those coaches you work with and all those young people you work with. But you have the Florida connection down there, and it is the hit program every Thursday at 5:30, I believe, on the UR Tennis Network. Folks, my email is chuck@coachcreasy.com. If you want to shoot me an email, chuck@coachcreasy.com. Also, folks, if you want to look at my website, it's chuckcreasy.net, K-R-I-E-S-E. You know, it's like Bob Greasy, but with a K. Chuck, K-R-I-E-S-E. And I love Bob Greasy. Actually, I was a high school basketball player when he was the quarterback at Purdue back in those years. So, and then you watched him at the Dolphins. But anyhow, I spell it that same way, but with a K. ChuckCreasy.net. Look at my readings, my writings, my camp programs, and folks, you can get every American Tennis program. Over the past 4 years, we are now in our fifth year of American Tennis. And with that introduction, folks, we'd like for you to call in if you can today. We'd like your ideas. We'd like for you to hear what you have to say about this dumb down that's going on with our junior players. Just call in area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853. And we will be right back to discuss what's going on with this dumb down.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at chuckcreasy.net. That's chuckcreasy.net.
Yeah, folks, it's Chuck Creasy, and I wanted to let you know that we still have openings at our Sumter camp next week in Sumter, South Carolina. Go to chuckcreasy.net and click on my camp program. You can come on up. That is a great program and a great camp that we've had for the past 14 years. A lot of youngsters getting better and figuring out how to get better, and it's a heck of a lot more than just how you hit a ball. Look at chuckcreasy.net. And it's Coach Chuck Creasy, and welcome back to to the American Tennis Program. And we're on every Wednesday at noon on the UR Tennis Network. And folks, got to tell you what's been going on here and why I'm doing the program I am today. I had two or three things that happened in the last 2 weeks. I follow junior tennis, of course. I'm a college coach. I like to know what's going on, and I like to know exactly who the up-and-coming players are, and I like to know sort of what's going on with American tennis. Well, first of all, let me tell you, we had some very good friends from the upstate of South Carolina come to Charleston and play in a statewide, I don't know, whether it's one of those L1, L2, L3, I don't know, but it was a junior tournament. So they were here four nights. Hotel rooms, Charleston exactly, are not that cheap this time of year. So you're figuring 129 with tax or something is 150 a night. And then you figure the meals, and by the time you eat out and do that, you get some cheap meals, maybe, cheap breakfast or something, you eat in the hotel, but then you're always spending $100 a day or something like that. But they were here for four nights. They got there a day ahead of time to make sure their youngsters got used to the courts and got used to the surroundings. And so then they go to play the tournament, and they showed up, and they playing no ad scoring in a 10-point tiebreaker for the third set. So let's go through this scenario. The one mother said, okay, so my son played the first day one match, and it was 6-1, 6-1, so he got 14 games. The second day, he played a tough match, and he got, about 20 games. Third day, he lost, but he got in 15 games. My son played 49 games in singles. And, oh, by the way, in doubles, they only got to play one doubles match. And that was an A-game pro set. But in singles, he got 49 games in. And she is sending me basically $1,200, got in about 50 games. Now, think about that. That is $24 per game that she had to spend for her youngster to play a junior tennis tournament. Now, I mean, that should be quality stuff if you're paying $24 a game. Now, I mean, I know that if you lose, it's hard because tournament's shorter. But the point was, she was saying, look, every game was no ad. Every game was no longer than 7 points, sometimes 4 points, 4 to 7 points. Did my son, and her husband was a teaching pro. He says, what in the world? My son didn't get better. We dropped $1,200. My golly, what's going on here? I said, I'll tell you what's going on. My son plays baseball, and I've talked to you all about this before. My son plays baseball, 10 and under baseball. And, I don't have any history in baseball. I grew up in Indiana playing basketball. I grew up in Indiana. I ran high school cross country, played football and all that. I got into tennis, and I learned at the City Parks, Dr. Sid E. Parks, on the backboard, and we went to tournaments. I think tournaments were like $3, $2, and you had a can of balls, and the winner kept the can of balls, and you progressed. That's how we did at the City Parks tournaments usually. And then as we got a little bit better, I think the most entry fee was $10 maybe or something when I was a kid coming up and things. Now God, there's $120, $130 entry fees for these USTA. I asked the tournament director, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, we got to pay all the referees. We got to have all these referees out there. They formed a union, and the union that they have formed, we got to pay them this much. We got to pay them travel, and we've got to pay them for their lunches and all this stuff. And everybody knows they're terrible. Everybody knows these referees are terrible anyway. I mean, it's senior. And folks, this is not politically correct, but tell me, isn't it the truth? This referee corps is a senior citizens jobs program, isn't it? It's a senior citizens jobs program. You have to be over 75 pretty much to get a job refereeing with these junior tennis matches. And they're killing us. They charge so much for the tournaments. So anyhow, I said, look, my son plays baseball. He played what they call Dixie Youth League here. That's sort of a rec-like little league. Well, that was one of the things. He played two leagues. He did that, and he did the travel ball thing for the 10 and unders. And by the way, the only reason the 10 travel ball exists and it's thriving because we're not doing the job in our elementary schools of having elementary school sports. We're not doing the job. We don't have elementary school sports anymore. Why? Because we have the busing program and the forced busing stuff and all of that, and we don't have kids growing up in the same neighborhood as their school. So what? We don't have programs of sports within our youth program, within our school systems. And that's a whole other topic that we could get into. So here we go. My son plays in the Dixie Youth League. He played 18 games. Then he got in the playoffs. That was another three games, 21. Then he made the All-Star team. So that was another five games. That's 26 games. Guess how much it cost me, folks? The whole year, the whole spring. He got 25 games, cost me $65. $65, about $2 a game. Are you kidding me? I mean, now, he did play travel ball. The travel ball, we get plenty of play around our media Charleston, South Carolina area. It's pretty awesome baseball. But we did have to take a trip down to Florida, and we spent about $600 or something. But in the travel ball thing, he was getting four and five games on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. He played five games in 2 days a couple times. Played something like 24 games or something. Now, I'm saying 27, 28 games, and then another 20, I believe, at least. He got nearly 50 games in. No way we paid as much as that lady did, our friend did, in one weekend. Okay, now we got 48 games. She only got 49 games of tennis for $1,200. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Let me give you something else about the baseball. I figured this one out. You know there's 6,000 youngs plus 6,000 people playing past college in either a farm league, a single-A, double-A, triple-A, or major league baseball programs or something. 6,000. Do you know we only have 14 male players right now making a living out of tennis? Whoa, wait a minute. Let's talk about scholarships. Scholarships. Have you noticed lately about our scholarship situation? Have you taken a look? 60 to 70% of D1 are foreign players. Wait, D1 women. Let's talk about D1 women. Wasn't Title IX set up to protect women for the United States of America? Was Title IX set up to protect women from Spain and from France and from South America and from Russia and from China and from Thailand and from Japan? I mean, unbelievable. We're giving all our scholarship money out to international students. That's a whole nother topic. Now, wait a minute. It's not PC. I'm be against foreigners. I mean, nobody's against foreigners. I'm against our American girls not having a chance. I'm not against foreigners. I'm against the boys having nowhere to go to college right now. Nowhere to go. D1 is dwindling. It's almost all foreign. By the way, foreign professional players, may I add? Okay, do you believe 1994-95, we had 86 players. The can of worms was finally open, and everybody was cheering. We had 86 foreign players that were deemed ineligible because they'd taken prize money. You know what the penalty was? Our ruling body set up a deal where they said, okay, they're penalized with three match suspensions. So all of a sudden, coaches go, whoa, the cheaters who were recruiting pros would say, whoa, let's play Pillsbury Doughboy State and let's play Slippery Rock Little Sisters of the Poor, and let's play the junior college of, it's unbelievable. So that opened a can of worms. Do you know what they're doing now, folks? Do you know what they're doing in college? It was too big a can of worms. So the ITA came back their infinite wisdom, and they pushed forward a bill. And why didn't they fight? Why aren't they fight? Why isn't the ITA fighting for more American scholarships on the men's side? Why don't they have some kind of a handle on that? Now think about this. We have had 430 programs dropped. Men's programs dropped. First of all, men's programs only get 4.5 scholarships. Women get 8. This is called, you can call it gender inequity, or instead of gender equity, we call it gender inequity. I know that's not politically correct, guys, but we need to stand up and shout it out here. And nobody has a problem with the Title IX scholarships for women. No, I've got daughters. I want them to be able to play. Nobody's got a problem with that. Title IX was a very good law, very poorly implemented. They should have never kept football in the equation of headcount. So that's the reason why football overloads it by nearly 100 scholarships, so women have to double up, have double than men in sports like golf and tennis, and even, volleyball has 12 full scholarships, only 6 starters. Think about tennis. We need to have 8 starters, only 4 scholarships, basically 4.5. Anyhow, and they're all going to international students. They're all going to international. So ITA, terrible, terrible, terrible in former years. I hope this new guy gets on the ball and tries to do something, because we are really, really in trouble and hurting over the lack of scholarship aid that goes to American players. We need to fight that as hard as they fought for this new rule I'm telling you about right now. So the can of worms was open. Too many foreign players in here that had played pro tennis that had made money. So the ITA put, let's see how we're going to handle this. Well, let's make a cap. You can make up to $10,000 and be eligible. What? What? Well, you know, frankly, we need to think about this. $10,000 cap. How about our American kids getting to make $10,000? How about our American kids? How about USTA, you guys start to do money tournaments? You know what? I'm going to contact some people. I'm going to try to see if we can start getting money tournaments going. I can't do it because I'm a college coach. That'd be an illegal violation. I don't know if there's a legal violation or an illegal violation. A legal violation might be what Hillary Clinton's getting away with right now. That's a legal violation. But the illegal violation, that's sort of a misuse of the English language. My golly, my wife would have me doing push-ups right now. Every time the children use slurs, she cannot stand anybody, the kids saying like. Like we're going to, every time they say this word like, she makes them hit the ground and do 5 push-ups. What a woman. What a woman. I'm so proud of her. So anyhow, the point is we need to have our American players, our junior players, they need to, come on, guys, you're allowed to make up to $10,000 now. Why don't we use it for our advantage? But that's the can of worms that is open, and how the ITA and USTA, they tried to get their arms around it, all the foreign players who were pros. So, guys, we have some big challenges. And what are they doing instead of addressing these big challenges? Instead of addressing how much it cost and wait a minute, did my friends, youngsters get better when they got 49 games, had to pay $1,200? No. They had to play no ad and 10-point tiebreakers. All right? And are they going to get college scholarships out of putting hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars into their college? No. Now, they might be able to walk on to a D3 program or something, but all of their chances are going to be taken up, and all the slots, they're going to buy somebody from another country who has a good international ranking or a professional ranking already. Does this sound like a sport that you want to get involved with? Well, yes, we do. It's still the best sport in the world. It teaches everything to our youngsters if our youngsters are challenged. We're asking just please, USTA, please, ITA, don't continue to dumb down our kids. There's nowhere to go for our kids. So the USTA, see, people are getting smart now. They're wondering why the numbers are fading so much, why we have 350,000 kids playing high school tennis but only 17,000 play junior tournaments. Well, 7%, 7 out of 100 play tournaments. And, you know, my son, he can't wait. He picks up and throws the ball every day. He's on fire for baseball. We'll see where it leads. But the point is our kids are our children on fire for junior tennis. I'm telling you, no. I do not believe all of them are. Look, not all of them are not. I do not want to say, make a false statement there. Many children love the sport. But people are getting smart. I'm wondering myself, I can give my children lessons. I've taught for 46 years. Do I want my children in tennis? I want them to learn the sport. It's the best sport ever. However, they are not going to be able to pursue this, I don't think, to the level of need. First of all, I don't have that much money. Even if I can give all the lessons, that the tournaments are just ridiculous how much that they cost. But let me give you the three strategies that we would like to ask the USTA to do. This is what's dumbing us down, USTA. And folks, you guys out there, please pass this on. We got to dump the scoring, the point system. We got to dump the point system. We got to dump the 10-point tiebreakers. We got to dump no-add scoring. We got to do that immediately because right at the core, this is all knee-jerk reaction and stuff that they have thrown against the wall to try to make it stick, to try to starve or stave off and fight off the quickly disintegrating numbers that we are having. Now, they're going to give you the numbers that, oh boy, the red, orange, and green balls have saved the day. Well, they've put a lot of kids in beginning tennis is what they've done. The fallout doesn't happen until the kids are about 12, 13, 14. We lose, I think, two-thirds of the kids. I forget what the number is, but it's about two-thirds of the kids. When they get about puberty, say, wow, too much pain, not enough payoff. Parents are saying, too pricey, too expensive, not enough payoff. And the kids try to find something else to go to. You know, but we do a good job of getting kids started. We then fade what's happening. We fade in those puberty years. And you can see the big fall off by the time the kids get to be 16 or 18. Those that do get to go to college is not doing the job. College is not doing the job. Let's talk about that very quickly. You know, in the mid-80s, I've often given this statistic, but we had 41 players born in the USA that went to college in the USA and became top 100 professionals on the men's side. Now, right now we have three. Actually, I got to give Rajiv Ram a shout-out out there. How old is Rajiv Ram? Daggone guy just broke into the top 100 again. Way to go, Rajiv. That Midwestern guy, he went to Illinois and grew up in Indianapolis, actually. My hometown is doing a heck of a job hanging in there. Shout out there to John Isner. Shout out who went to Georgia for all 4 years. Shout out to Steven Johnson, who was undefeated for 2 years at University of Southern California. 2 years at University of Southern California, Steven Johnson was undefeated. And his father was asked on the J.P. Weber's We Coach Tennis program, do you believe that if they'd been playing no ad, Steven would have been undefeated for 2 years? He said, absolutely not. Speculation is that he probably would have lost 10 to 15 matches, and would he be the same player right now if he had to take those hits? Look, some of these losses are like baggage to a tennis player. I've seen 30,000 tennis matches. I have coached a lot of competitive matches. Point is that losses are good at the right time. They are horrible at the wrong time. Winning is good at the right time. Winning is bad at the wrong time. But the point is that winning for abstract or because of randomness, random reasons, is really, really bad for careers. Folks, in junior tennis, here's what happens. Kids get pretty good, then they come up. We've had great results in our Grand Slams. Hats off to our USTA junior coaches. And then the kids find out, whoa, I got to go to college. When you go to college, folks, I used to teach in a junior facility up there in Maryland. And I don't know if I can call it out or not, but it was awesome. But we saw a local college there train on our courts. And our kids who were 12 were working twice as hard as the college players. It was pathetic. Pathetic. The lack of hours that you get to work and the dumb down that it is has made our college programs, in many cases, after-school activities. High school's already there. It's not a sport in high school. It's an after-school activity. You know, much like the debate club or the chess club or something, it is not a rigorous sport. So the dumb-down's been unbelievable in college. We do not any longer have college being a stepping stone to professional ranks. And, by the way, it's not a stepping stone for much learning going on either. For those of you who are my liberal friends out there on the left who think that participation can breed excellence, it's not. You do not breed excellence from simple participation. You breed weakness from simple participation. We've got a dump, though, in the junior tennis. You've done a great job out there with a lot of our juniors. They get a lot of opportunities, but where they fade, our kids are fading, is the college years. They fade badly at 17, 18, 19. Most of them say, I'm going to get on with my life, and they try to get a job. They know that college tennis is not the stepping stone that they need for a professional career. And they come here for the gravy train. Face it. Our foreign players, that are most of them are failed professionals that don't make top 300 in the world. And they say, whoop, okay, let's go off to college. Let's go to USA and get my college paid for. Folks, it is unbelievable. They're taking up all of the positions that our American kids should go to. And no, look, our top 60, 70 kids on women's and the men's side will be okay. The problem is our top. After that, if you're 81 in the college, you know, after the top 60, 70 kids in the United States, what happens is you've got to compete against 60 or 70 other countries' top 10 players, and they get the spots for various reasons. Either the coach doesn't want to do the work it takes to get people better who are American players, or three-star Americans, a lot of them could get a lot better. Coaches either don't want to do the work or they don't want to, you know, take the time to develop them, or they have a system that is they were not allowed to keep very many players on the team. That's a whole another story, that proportionality and the head count in our head count sports. They don't even let you take walk-ons at schools like some of our top schools. They won't let you take local walk-ons who would pay their own way because of the number game that they try to keep in NCAA. Title IX proportionality with, or the head count. It's really amazing how that's just such a dumb down. So my friend was saying, should I, my son even stay in tennis? He is great in soccer. He loves soccer. He is good in baseball. I said, he's also can be good in tennis. You keep him in this sport of tennis. This is the best sport ever invented. Hopefully we will get good leaders who take the bull by the horns, and instead of building these $100 million things on the roofs and doing all these things, we could do so much with the money. It's a slush fund deluxe. My golly, what a bureaucracy out of control. What a bureaucracy. But we need the point system to be dumped. Everybody aware of that? That's another issue. But look, you go to certain tournaments, you get points per round. Wow, okay, they add up the points. You have the best average, the most amount of points, your ranking's high. Wow, whoop-de-doo. Kids don't play for points. Parents might look at it and calculate it. Kids play for rivalries. Kids play to win tournaments of heritage. Kids play because they're in love with the game of tennis, but when you do the point system and you add up points, it completely is into the product orientation instead of the process orientation. that anybody that plays a sport or does something artistic should be into. Could you imagine somebody trying to learn how to play the piano and say, how many ribbons have I won? What is my ranking as a piano player? Oh, what about my art? What is my ranking as far as this? Once kids have to go there and keep score at the points, you're dead in the water. You've lost their motivation. They are not inspired. Folks, let's talk about the point system again in the back draws. So they play all these back draws. Kids figure out that, you know what, if I lose to this guy, if I lose to this young lady, it doesn't hurt my ranking anyway. So we had, I counted 3 years ago, Kalamazoo, 2 years ago as well, but 3 years ago was the outstanding. We had 56 kids just mysteriously pull out of the back draw for fake injuries or whatever it might be. The match was could maybe be a bad loss, so they took a dive and just quit. By the way, they were playing 10-point tiebreakers, so there's no sting in losing one of those, no thrill in winning one of those. This point system thing has got to go. Dump it. We need to go back to the head-to-head situation. Get up off your lazy rear ends, you guys who do the rankings or the USTA. Get up and do the old system again. I know it takes more time. You have to compare head-to-head matches. You have to compare actually who is better. Folks, do you realize this point system? Think about this. Let's say my son got really, really good in tennis on the side. He plays baseball 8 months, 9 months a year, but then he gets really good in tennis, and he wins our state closed tournament. Well, rankings come out the next week. Guess what? He's only ranked 31 in the state. What? He's the state champion. Well, no, he's 31 because he doesn't have enough points. What? Well, no, we want him to play mostly. No, my son's a baseball player too. Do you understand how ludicrous the point system is? So it's killing. And guess who does well with the point system? Those people who have enough money to travel everywhere to chase points as if they're professionals and everything. And then at the end of the day, once they figure out that there's no payoff at the end of the journey, a lot of them quit tennis. What a scam. What a scam tennis is becoming. It's really just awful. This point system has to be dumped. There's much other, there's a lot more to it. And that. But basically, let's go back to the system we had. It was so simple before. And look, I was on that USTA committee. Some of you USTA committee guys out there, I was on the committee, and they didn't want me to come back after 2 years. They didn't invite me back. I wonder why. It wasn't that I wasn't a hard worker. Was I dishonest? No. Did I not have enough in my background? Well, compared to others, I had more in my background than probably 10 to 15 of some of those people sitting on that committee, you know, as far as the amount of hours coaching and everything. But they did not want a dissenting voice. It's real simple on that one. But you know what? That's it is what it is. You know, I'm going to stay in tennis, but my friend told me earlier today about battling some of this other stuff. He says, you're just trying to dig sand at the beach, shoveling sand at the beach, he said, because it's so entrenched with the computers. You see, the computers have allowed a lot of the wrong people to be in positions, you know, that is really above their competence level. And I want to be kind. There's wonderful, wonderful people and leaders, but we just bureaucracies stall out and they fail because they really just get overloaded with systems and all of the procedures, and they don't get to the core of just doing what needs to be done. Number one, we got to dump the point system. Number two, the point system, I think I've said enough about that. The number two, these 10-point tiebreakers have got to go. Now, I was talking to a parent yesterday. I went over to the 12 and under. My second story is I went over to the 12 and unders yesterday, the national 12 and unders, and I had three or four very close friends there coaching kids. But we went over, and I talking to some of the parents. So it rained the first day. Well, from the USTA office, a phone call was made. Let's all panic and play no-ad scoring now. Let's play no-ad scoring. Well, they didn't say let's all panic, but that's what they're doing. They go to no-ad scoring. Oh, my gosh. Do you know what a can of worms that is? Now, You got all these parents over there. They're coaching 12 and under kids. They come here for this week. I bet they spend $2,000 for the week at this national event because they've got to be here all week. It's a compass draw. They play all week. Then they have to play no ad scoring. In doubles, I think they've dumbed it down to 8-game pro sets. So here you go again. How much per game are they paying, and does the best player win? Well, in no ad scoring, sadly, 30 to 40%. I am speculating. I do not have statistics. I did coach no ad for 13 years, and I saw the damage that it did to many, many players that shoulda, coulda, woulda been great, but they never, ever got the reps of the tough, long games that you need to be a player. So anyhow, here we go, and parents are really upset, and they know something's wrong, and the kids don't want to play it, and several good players lose that deciding point. And I don't care, you guys out there that think that this is a good system, it is an atrocious, it is just a mockery. It is I shouldn't say laughable, it's really criable. And, you know, I don't care, Jimmy Van Allen might have been a nice guy, I don't know if he was a tennis scholar, but he came up with this thing, and this thing is really, really bad. The 10-point tiebreaker as well must be dumped. Let me talk about it quickly. A parent was talking to me, and they said, well, what about 10-point tiebreakers here? We all know something's wrong. We hate them. The parent said, you know, my child was playing a match, and they won a 10-8 tiebreaker. And then the other player walked up and shakes hands and says, look, if I won that, I was going to tank the second set and try to win the tiebreaker for the third. Actually, one parent said the same thing. He said, my son, it took about 45 minutes for them to get a hold of the match and start breaking down the other kid. They finally broke him down, but he had lost the first set, won the second set 6-1, and then they have to play 10 points for the whole match. This is ludicrous. And are there other options? Yes, there are. I could give you one. Look, I've got 11 of them. I've got 11 that I presented to my USTA committee, and the USTA committee sort of just shrugged it off. No, we're all seeing, all knowing. We're so smart. You dumb people out there need to just do this 10-point tiebreaker. It sounds in theory like it is good. Look, think about this. If you have to play the 10-point tiebreaker, why wouldn't you play the 10-point tiebreaker first set? Then let the kids play full set for the second and the third. The better player would always win then. Right now, you have randomness when a person wins a 10-point tiebreaker. At that 10-point tiebreaker, with that 10-point tiebreaker, the real harm is done. It's so subtle. But when a youngster wins, I've often said it's sort of like kissing your sister, they say, the old-fashioned saying. Is that politically correct now? Probably can't say that, but the bottom line is it used to be a thing that you could say, but the bottom line is the win doesn't really count. People know I call them double A scoring. Let's call it double A scoring, folks. We'll call that asterisk abbreviated when you use the 10-point tiebreaker because it really wasn't a complete match. It wasn't a full match. Asterisk abbreviated. So what that means is that you, just like a wind-aided 100-yard dash or 400-yard dash in the wind, wind-aided, there's an asterisk, it wasn't a completed ball game. Let's do that. Let's call it double-A scoring, asterisk abbreviated. It really is not a legitimate win. Here's the tragedy, too. When you lose, when the kids lose, it doesn't hurt enough for them to want to go out and practice more. They slough it off. Well, I lost a 10-point tiebreaker. It really, so kids don't improve by winning. They don't improve by losing the 10-point tiebreakers. It's really a tragedy because, again, you have skewed results and kids who, look, you have a rite of passage when the kids win. When rites of passage are very, very distinct and very important tennis. Almost always a rite of passage is when a player wins a very, very tough match, 7-5 in a third, and they beat the number three seed, and they move forward. They then are accepted. They then know that they can do this. They then are the legitimate real deal. Think of John Isner, where he made his breakthrough. Here he is, an average challenger player, and he goes up to D.C. to the City Classic. Now, I forget what they used to call it, but the City Classic now, he wins like 7-6 in the third twice, 7-5 in the third, 7-4 in the third, or 6-4 in the third, and he has a rite of passage. Then you see him at the U.S. Open 2 weeks later taking a set off of Federer. And all of a sudden, John Isner, he has this rite of passage. This is the way it happens for all players. But they're always done with tough, tough matches. And guess what? The learning takes place again in the third set of the match. The learning takes place in the third set of the match. All of you who work with junior players, don't you understand that? USTA, don't you understand that? Our kids need, the reason they're not tough in the pros, when is the last time we saw kids tough it out in the pros? Some of our players. You know, and learning takes place in the third set of the match. You have to have many, many rites of passage from that third set, not doing the abbreviated match. Now, and look, I'm not cutting on our pros. We've got great people out there, and thank goodness for the Bryans, and thank goodness for Serena, I guess. They've been the consistent winners the last 20 years. But let's talk facts. Proof is in the pudding. It's been 15 years on the men's side since we've had a Grand Slam champion. That's 15 times four Grand Slams. Folks, that's 60 tries, no Grand Slam champion on the men's side. On the women's side, if it wasn't for Serena, when was the last women's champion we had on the women's and a Grand Slam champion on the women's side? Was it Lindsay Davenport? I think I know it's been 25 years. So that's 25 years times four tournaments. That's 100. Folks, it's been, other than Serena and the Bryan brothers, it's been 160 tries. We're doing something wrong. It's time to change some stuff. The point system. Dump the 10-point tiebreakers. Or, look, if you got to save time, play it the first set. You got to save time. You know what? And then over here at the National 12s yesterday, USTA all-knowing, all-seeing wonders from Florida, you call up and say, we command you to play. We don't know the situation up there, but we command you to play no ad scoring. Are you kidding me? What's the matter with you guys? What's the matter with you guys down there? Dang it. Aren't you tired of seeing average stuff? Living on hopes and dreams. It always looks like we got something great coming up, and then it always bites the dust. You're to blame. ITA is to blame. USTA, you're to blame. ITA is to blame. Both you guys. All right, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Dang it. You know, and what the, it's the 10-point tiebreakers. But look, a parent said to me yesterday, said, well, instead of 10-point tiebreakers, how could we save time? Well, there's 30 things you could do. The easiest thing to do, look, start the first set at 2-2, full set for the second, full set for the third. That would save 10 to 15 minutes. That would save more time than that silly no-ad time saves. Unless your real agenda, USTA, is to bleed in no-ad scoring. ITA, you bled in the no-ad, didn't you? Now you've got it in college. Then we get into juniors. Who is the guys down there trying to push this for professional tennis? Is it the ITF? Is it the USTA? Who is there pushing this for tennis? Now, we've had this for 141 years. 141 years we've had this scoring system that Rod Laver has used, Margaret Court, Billie Jean King, Arthur Ashe, Ellsworth Vines, Bill Tilden, Don Budge, and you can go on and on and on and on. It has always been the barometer for what is good and what is not good. For 141 years, we've had this scoring system, and then because of the all-seeing, all-knowing USTA, oh, we're going to make up this no-ad scoring thing. it's going to get more things more exciting, and we're going to have people want to play more tennis. And look, in recreation tennis and participation tennis, nobody cares. I'm talking in real performance-driven things that matter. In our high school competitive events, in our college competitive events, in our junior competitive events, in our professional events, in our Grand Slam, in our Davis Cup events, we need the same traditional barometer that we've had for 141 years. That should be enough to honor our heritage. But again, we lose our great sport because no one knows our heritage and hard work has not been the standard. Gimmicks and systems have been the standards. Guys, you got to get on board and just dump this thing. It's just so aggravating. So we dumb down with the point system. We dumb down with the 10-point tiebreaker. We're dumbing down with no ad. We're dumbing down with the no ad. Lots of careers have been ruined. Our sport is being hurt. I've often said it. It's just so, it would be like the wonderful neighborhood that you grow up in as a child, and it's so vibrant and so exciting, has so much future involved, and then you see it becoming a slum. You know, you just see it getting trashed, and it becomes just, you know, it just disintegrates. That's the way tennis has been. But 141 years, you know, the most consistent barometer has been traditional scoring. But it is under assault. And the reason, the stated motive by the ITA and the USTA has been that, oh, gosh, we're going to attract more participation, and we're building a larger fan base. Yeah, right. Just look in the stands at some of your professional tournaments. They're all hurting. Look in college, and yeah, some coaches have been able to give free pizzas away and do some promotional programs, and we really credit those coaches for doing that, but it ain't because of the scoring system. The 10-point tiebreaker has been used regularly, and as we said, instead of the third set that really teaches all the learning. We had a 4-year battle over NOAD scoring. You know, and we most of the coaches, there was never a consensus by college coaches. On the women's side, it was up to 88% of the female coaches, or the coaches of women's team, men's too, wanted to keep traditional scoring because of all the upsets that NOAD happens. On the men's side, it was like 75%. They did their best to, I don't know what they did to try to convince some of those higher level, high-ranked coaches, but their whole marketing program stemmed around turning some of these coaches into people who did not respect the traditional scoring as much. But more harm, the depth of the game has not been learned. And I believe that once they bleed it in enough in junior tennis, then they bleed it in college tennis, these youngsters who will be going into the pros one day won't really even complain. You know that, and look, you can argue all you want, but when you make things easier to pick up, they become easier to put down. Harder to pick up is harder to put down. Chess is longevity is much better than checkers, and there's so many analogies that you can be used. But if you dumb down tennis, we are in serious problems. The fallout is yet really to be heard, but you're seeing it with the cost of junior tournaments. You're seeing it with all that is happening with people going towards other sports. One analogy I always use about the NOAD scoring now is that I'm really into baseball. Any junior high coaching jobs out there, I'm thinking I love that sport, but I love tennis more. But three balls, two strikes, no foul balls. How would that make baseball? Or, you know, hey, listen, on the third strike, If you foul, you're automatically out. That's what NOAAD is. You can say, oh, it's exciting. No, the drama of tennis has been lost by NOAAD. The drama, the intensity. In the women's, listen, go back and see if you can find on YouTube the video of our Wimbledon, this last Wimbledon, the junior final, the finals in junior tennis in the last couple games, and the drama that was so incredible because of our traditional scoring. I think John McEnroe even said this is why traditional scoring is so much more important. That NOAAD stuff has got to go. But traditional scoring is fair, accurate, and it's time-tested. Traditional scoring tests your body and your mind and your spirit. It's a cornerstone for success in tennis is learning how to win three in a row. The mastery comes when a player learns how to group points called conversions. Three in a row starts to flow. If you don't win the first point of the game, you have to win three in a row or four in a row. You know, our best athletes are not inspired by the game of tennis. First of all, you know how it was when we were growing up. Before they televised it so much, they used to call it a sissy sport. And until people played it, and then they saw how tough it really was. Well, without the things that you have to do that are so deep, baseball, so many people say it's boring. Until you learn about baseball, baseball is exciting beyond belief because of the drama. But the three-in-a-row mastery is important. You know, abbreviated scoring allows randomness to perpetuate and to conquer. Randomness, it always keeps a player in the match instead of creating separation. You know, one of the subtleties, I only got a couple minutes here, folks, bear with me, but a couple subtleties, I always used to ask my players, when was match point, really, before match point? The players would go, oh, let's see, separation. I was 2-1 up in the second. Coach, I won 6-4, and then 2-1 in the second set. I had that long, long game, and my player went away. The other guy went away. My opponent went away. And, yeah, that's where the separation, I always used to even say no celebration till separation. No ad scoring allows the dog to stay in the house for too long. The player should have been gone a long time ago, but they keep getting back in the door because of the randomness of the scoring system. It's just, and there's a lot of our good players take too many losses. You know, the point construction, and look, getting a lead and incorporating the lead and carrying the lead is one of the hardest to achieve skills that people who win at a high level really need to learn to do. The drama I've already talked about, and look, folks, it's not a rule of tennis. NOAAD was never a rule of tennis. It was invented by Jimmy Van Allen, and Jimmy, God rest your soul, I know he did a lot for tennis, but I don't think he was the tennis genius. I think that this was an opportunistic move by some of the college coaches who randomness became more important to winning. We have very talented teams that have never done anything of significance because they don't work hard enough. So if you play randomness, overtakes work. If you work hard, the better player will win. Not with NOAAD. NOAAD is awful. But, you know, it comes down to the players want traditional scoring. The coaches want regular scoring, traditional scoring. Parents want traditional scoring. And basically, that's how you honor the game. That is how you honor the game. You know, I got to just mention this. Where did all this come from? Look, big difference between participation goals and performance goals. There is a theology. philosophically speaking, there is a philosophy that says if we have more performance, more participation, we will have more performance. We're going to make greatness out of mediocrity. And they're into participation goals. Well, that's not how excellence happens, folks. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Excellence happens when you go after excellence, the Vince Lombardi saying that we will pursue perfection. And while we are not going to be able to catch perfection, we will catch excellence. What we do is we chase mediocrity and then say, where's the excellence? Where's the excellence? We're not getting it. I used a music example. Look, what we're doing right now is saying if we create enough bands and enough band members, we will have an orchestra one day. That's not the way it happens. The way it happens is you create the orchestra and pursue excellence, and you people to their limits, and you stretch them, and then those that fall out go to the band, and you have great orchestras and great bands. Right now, I have mediocre bands and no orchestras in tennis. We have to push kids, inspire kids. We have to stretch kids. I've never had an athlete ever come back and say, we work too hard. 100% of the time, they will come back and say, I wish you'd push me harder, coach. I really had some talent, and you didn't get it all out of me. That is the curse of a coach. If somebody would ever come back and tell me that, it is the curse of a coach to not develop the talent. We're not developing the talent. We are sabotaging. We are dumbing down our kids, the point systems, the 10-point tiebreakers, the no-add scoring, but it's the philosophy that you can do participation goals and get excellence from participation goals. You cannot get excellence from participation goals. You must have performance goals, pursue excellence, pursue perfection, and then you catch excellence. And again, folks, let's create orchestra members. Let's teach the violin. We'll get plenty of trombone and tuba players out of that. But when you have tuba players, and I'm not cutting on tuba players out there, or, you know, whoever plays the tambourine in the van. But if you have too many tuba players and tambourine players, you're never going to get that violinist. Folks, I got to go, and I appreciate it. And come back. Listen, everybody, stand up, speak out. According to Dr. Ben Carson, what he said was, what? Stand up and shout out. Shout out. We need you. We need your voice.
Made in America. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't prejudiced. He's just made in America.
Chuck Creasy reminding you that you're in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. God bless y'all. Hang in there. Help that youngster in front of you. See you next week on American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.